grab your Bibles, open them up to the book of Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter number 2. Galatians chapter 2, go to verse number 1. Galatians chapter 2, verse number 1. Then 14 years after I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also, and I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preach among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. But neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren, unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. But of these who seemed to be somewhat, whatsoever they were, it maketh no matter to me. God accepteth no man's person. For they who seemed to be somewhat in conference added nothing to me. But contrariwise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me, as the gospel of the circumcision was unto Peter, for he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. And when James, Cephas, and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that was given unto me, they gave to me and Barnabas the right hands of fellowship, that we should go into the heathen, and they under the circumcision. Only they would that we should remember the poor, the same which I also was forward to do. Our Father, I pray that you would bless us today. I pray that you guide and direct the message. I pray that you would work through this, that you might have honor and glory, and that we would be drawn closer to you and transformed in heart and mind. Guide and direct us in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul continues with his biographical sketch. Remember, he is defending himself as the messenger of the gospel of grace and defending the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These Judaizers had come in after him in Galatia and said, you trust to Christ as Savior, that's nice, but you got to be a Jew. You got to live like a Jew and act like a Jew and totally take on the Old Testament law that the Jews had to go by in order to really be a Christian. And Paul's saying, that's not what happened. They ended up attacking him, and in here he is defending himself and what he did. He points out here that getting the gospel to a lost world is a team effort. Getting the gospel to a lost world is a team effort. In any competitive sport, it takes a team to actually score. And while the guy who actually gets the goal or the touchdown or what have you gets much of the glory, he knows that everybody had to do their part from beginning to end in order for someone to score. Individuals don't score. Teams score. You can illustrate that idea succinctly with either American football or world football. Soccer. It takes the entire team. The one who scores gets the glory. The one who makes the touchdown gets the glory. But they got to do their job and trust the rest of the team to do theirs as well. We all have a job to do in order to see a soul saved. In order to see someone come to Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, we all must do our job. If we all do our job, then the team scores, not any one individual. Paul is showing the team effort of the early church and what the gospel can do if we will go ahead and do our job and take it to the ends of the world. So today's message is entitled, It Takes All of Us. Are you doing your job? It takes all of us. Are you doing your job? 4 points and we're through. Paul's journey, Paul's job, your journey, your job. Can you follow that? Here we go. Number one, Paul's journey. In verses 1-6, he tells us what happened to him. Now remember, he's adding on to chapter number one. We talked about that last week. In his conversion, he was saved on the road to Damascus. Remember, he was going to Damascus to take the Christians there and haul them off into prison, torture some of them, brutalize some of them, even murder some of them. That was the plan. On the road to Damascus, he is knocked off his horse by Jesus Christ. He looks up in heaven and sees Jesus Christ, and there he is saved. And when he is saved, Paul is changed. Amen. Completely changed. So much so that God will eventually change his name from Saul to Paul. Different person. He doesn't go back and consult with all of the disciples as the Judaizers had claimed. Instead, he goes to Arabia for 3 years to be taught by Jesus Christ himself the gospel of grace. He acknowledges that in chapter number one, the last part of it. And he goes there and preaches it. And Jesus Christ teaches him how the Old Testament and how the New Testament, which Paul would write most of, would completely fit together, pointing to the Messiah, the Christ, Jesus. He says then, after 14 years, in verse number 1 of chapter 2, after 14 years of preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, he went back to Jerusalem. Now, his going back to the Jerusalem is probably for the Jerusalem Council to report on his first missionary journey. This is recorded for us in Acts chapter number 15. He wants to settle whether or not the saved Gentiles need to become Jews to become Christian. Do they need to live under the law in all of that? And the church in Jerusalem, the first church in Jerusalem, with James as their pastor, Cephas being there, and that's Peter, John being there, pillars of the church, what would they say about all of this? And they said, no, the Gentiles are being saved. God is working through Paul to make sure they get the right gospel, they get the truth, they're getting saved, good things are happening. No, they don't have to become Jews to be saved. He says they didn't even make Titus, who I brought with me, become a Jew in all of this. No, that did not happen. He's defending himself and them. They didn't require all of this to take place. So, no, they didn't have to become Jews. Paul is here saying, they didn't make us do all of those things. Why are the Judaizers trying to make you become Jewish? You don't have to listen to them. You trusted Christ as Savior. Jesus Christ is enough. Amen. He's all you need. You trust Christ as Savior. He died to save you. It is grace that saves you, not anything that you might do or accomplish. Amen. He says, they understood that I was the apostle to the Gentiles, and Peter was the apostle to the Jews. And James and Peter and John would continue preaching the gospel to the Jews, and I would take the gospel to the Gentiles. It was a team effort. A lot of people had to do their job for the church to score a soul for Jesus Christ. And everyone was doing their job. Amen. Paul was doing his job. In all of that, those of reputation were those in charge in the church. And he said, we went before those in charge to kind of straighten this out, but had they said differently, I wouldn't have cared because God told me what to do and I was going to tell the people what God told me. Amen. But we all agreed because it was all part of the same word. And we went forth from there. They gave me the right hand of fellowship, and we went forth on more missionary journeys doing what was right. So that covers Paul's journey and Paul's job. We come to point number 3, your journey. Your journey. Let me ask you, and you don't need to say it out loud. How did you get here? How did you get here in Life Baptist Church? How did you get here saved where you are in your Christian life? How did you get here? Let me tell you very clearly, God brought you here. God brought you here, and it was no accident. All of our journeys have been different, and some of us more different than others. But we're all different, and the way we got here is different. And chances are, without the grace of God and the direction of God in our lives, we may not even know each other. Because we, chances are, wouldn't run into each other in other areas of life. But God brought us here to this place for a reason. Amen. We all have different backgrounds. But it is that background that helps us in the fulfilling of our job. Amen. I talked about it last week, how that I believe I was prepared to do this from a child. Wow. And our background is different. Renee and I have very different backgrounds. And we often have different perspectives on things because of those backgrounds. And that's not bad in any way, shape, or form. That's a good thing because it fits together very nicely. I grew up in a Christian home, third generation Christianity at least. My parents were in the nursery together at my home church. You know, talking about being in church a long time, that's being in church at a long time. Okay, I grew up in a church of 4,500, 5,000 people. But I knew everybody. And I think everybody knew me. Just amazing. I grew up in that. And so my journey growing up in church was a little bit different than Renee's. She didn't grow up in church. She was saved as a teenager and started coming to church because a friend had invited her. And so she will have a different perspective on some of the things we talk about in our adult Bible fellowship and things like that than I did. And what things came easy to her as a first-generation Christian and came difficult for me as a third generation. We just approach things differently. But guess what? It was God that brought us here. It was God that brought us together. And it was God who was working in our journey so that we could do our job. Amen. And I'll bet you, every single one of you had a different upbringing than we did. Shake your heads, make me feel better. You're different. But God brought us all here to be a part of the body of Christ in this place. Every now and then stop and think about it. How did I get here? God brought me here. Oh yeah, I made some choices along the way that were pretty stupid, but God overruled. He forgave me, and now I'm here. How do I need to serve Him? How can I better serve Him? What is your journey? How did you get here? Number four, your job. Your job. You have a job to do. You have a part to play. It takes all of us. Are you doing your job? Go to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4. I know my job. I know what my job is to do exactly because it is written out for me in Scripture. I, as your pastor, have a job, and here it is delineated for us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What's my job? My job is written out in verses 11 and 12. God gave to the church apostles, there are no more. Prophets, there are no more. Evangelists, there are some of those. Pastors and teachers. That's me at the end, pastor slash teacher. It is my job, verse number 12, to perfect the saints in order that they might do the work of the ministry, that the body of Christ might be edified. That's what verse number 12 is saying. It is my job to perfect you so that you can do the work of the ministry, so that the body of Christ in this place might be built up. Amen. The body of Christ in this place is the church. Now, if you've been attending Life Baptist Church for any kind of time, you know that I do not believe in any kind of invisible, universal entity of supposed believers that we call the church. I don't believe that exists. Okay? If it does, the only time we can ever meet is when we're in heaven, so it doesn't exist on earth. There's no the church. It doesn't exist. But there are all kinds of local churches. Amen. The local church is the body of Christ. It doesn't make any sense to have a church and call it the body of Christ when the arm is in Danbury, Connecticut, and there's a foot in Dallas, Texas, and there's a leg in Hong Kong. That doesn't make any sense. Yet, when the local church is the body of Christ, and that's what the Bible teaches, we can show Christ to the lost and dying world because all the parts are where? Here. And they are you and me and us. It is my job in this local church to perfect you, and the word is equip you to do the work of the ministry. I'm not supposed to do the work of the ministry. Who's supposed to do the work of the ministry? We are. All of us, because we're Christians, we are to do the work of the ministry. I am not the minister who does the ministry, and everybody else just kind of watches and tags along and sees what's happening and says amen every now and then. No, we are to do the work of the ministry. It is my job as pastor to perfect you, to equip you, to give you what you need to do the work of the ministry. And how do I do that? I bring to you the Word of God so that you can understand it and take it and grow thereby and do what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. It is my job to give you the Word of God, and I will do that week in, week out. I will give you the Word of God. You will get a well-rounded biblical education if you attend every church service of the Life Baptist Church. It'll just happen. You'll get it. All you got to do is be here. Okay? How long are we supposed to do it? Verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Until we are what? Just like Christ. Now, I got to be honest with you. Church, that's a good thing to be. Amen? Smile just slightly. Okay, as I look over the auditorium, we're not there yet. We're not like Christ yet. Amen? And we're going to do this until we're all like Christ. I'm including me. You heard me say we. We're not there yet. So guess what? This needs to keep on going until we're all like Christ. And then when we're doing what we're supposed to be doing as in the work of the ministry, we'll have other people join us who aren't like Christ, and they just join us, and we all begin that journey to go to Christ. Amen. Because how many of us in here are perfect? Raise your hand. How many in here are perfect? None of us are perfect, right? None of us are perfect. We're all working on this journey together unto Christ's likeness. Amen. And part of your job, if it's my job to equip you, it's your job to be equipped. Does that make sense? So you can fight against me, say he doesn't know what he's talking about. You can and leave. Or you can understand, he's preaching the Word of God, and I need to allow it to change my life. Amen. Till we're all like Christ. He continues on, and it kind of gets confusing a little bit as you read these words here. He says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie and wait to deceive. That makes sense. We're not children. We should be growing up in the Word of God, understanding it, so no one can change our mind, deceive us, trick us, and say something is the Word of God when it's not, because we know the Word of God. What that means. Verse number 15, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. Again, we're becoming the body of Christ in this place. We're growing up into the head, Jesus Christ. Here we go. From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. Can you say, huh? Thank you. That verse means, we're the body of Christ in this place. And when every part of the body does its job, the body functions correctly. Amen. When one part of the body decides it's not going to work right, that is not a good thing. Amen. You can talk back to me here. Amen. We need to understand, we've all got a part to play in this. It takes all of us. Are you doing your job? Are you doing your job? You have a job to do. Are you doing it? Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. 1 Corinthians chapter number 12. First Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 1. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. Now jump down to verse number 11. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, wherewith the body? But now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. He's saying, we as a local church are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. There's hands and there's heads and there's feet and there's ears and there's eyes and there's a nose and there's a heart and there's all kinds of parts in a body. And they all work together for the good of the body. My hand at no chance when all says, I want the glory. I think I'll go ahead and grab everybody's attention and do something goofy. It doesn't do that all on its own. Okay? The body works together, does it not? Shake your heads, make me feel better. That's what we are. We are a body. We all have different parts to play. We all have different jobs to do. We all do something for the edifying of the body, for the honor and glory of God. It takes all of us. Are you doing your job? Are you doing your job? Now, in the context of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we have spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. God has gifted every saved person with a spiritual gift. Now, there's lists of them here. There's lists in Romans chapter number 12. There are lists in other places of differing gifts of the Spirit. Now, I don't believe that the Spirit takes one of these here in this list and gives it to you. One of these. Okay? There's only one you get. But I believe it's like a paint palette, painter's palette. Okay? You follow me? Painter's palette. On the painter's palette, does he have, or she, as they're doing their painting, every single color imaginable on that palette? No. They've got a few colors, and everyone wouldn't fit. And what do they do to make another color they don't have? They mix a little bit this and a little bit of that, and they'll get the color they want and add that to their painting. Okay? They got some primary colors there, and they will use those to make the paint color they need. The spiritual gift lists are like that paint palette to the Holy Spirit of God. And he takes a little bit of this one, and a little bit of this one, and a little bit of this one, and gives you exactly what your church needs. Wow. And then you function in the body of Christ, and the body is built up spiritually, numerically. The body is built up in every way. Body's edified. Amen. So, do you need to take a test to find out which gift you have? The answer is no. Don't care about which gift you have. Whoa, that's kind of strange. You see, everything else on those lists, the one here, the one in Romans chapter number 12, elsewhere, those other things on the list that you may not have, you've been commanded to do anyway. Amen. But the one that you've been gifted in will become easy to you. And you'll be able to do that easier than you can do the other ones. Does that mean when I find that one out, I got to leave the other ones alone? Absolutely not. You've been commanded to do all the rest of them anyway. Some people have been given the gift of encouragement. They're really good at encouraging others. Does that mean they don't have to give? Absolutely not. They don't have to do other things in the list? No, absolutely not. We're to do them all. But encouraging comes naturally to them. Amen. You've been gifted to serve in the local church. Are you doing it? Are you doing it? Because it takes a team to score a soul for Christ. It takes all of us. Are you doing your job? Again, as I said earlier, God works in and through local churches, not some universal, invisible body of supposed believers dubbed the church. Your job is to be done through your church. Are you doing your job? What is your job? It's to do the work of the ministry. The thing that I've been called to equip you to do, the work of the ministry. And when we all do the work of the ministry, the body of Christ is edified in this place. Amen. So I ask you again, are you doing your job? Because who depends on you doing your job? I do. Who depends on you doing your job? The person sitting next to you. The person down the row. Person across the far side of the auditorium. They depend on you doing your job. You see, we're in this together. It is a team effort. And when one of us lets the team down, we're doing just that, letting the team down. You know who else needs you to do your job? That soul that isn't saved yet. It takes all of us to be built up to reach that soul for Christ. Oh, one person may lead them to the Lord, but if we're all doing our part, it's a team effort. Amen. And that's what needs to happen. Paul says here in Galatians chapter number 2, it was a team effort. I went to the Gentiles. Peter, James, and John went to the Jews. We're all trying to reach people to Christ. And besides us, those of reputation, there's a whole lot of people behind the scenes doing their jobs. Got the Sunday school teachers, the nursery workers, the Awana workers, the ushers, those who do this and that may never receive glory on earth, may never receive the pat on the back they deserve. But oh, how they're necessary to make sure everything gets done for God's honor and God's glory. Amen. It takes all of us. Are you doing your job? Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this time together. Thank you, Lord, for calling us here to this place.